Van egy nagyon egyszerű, de fontos üzenetem. Nem tudom, van valakinek egy nyílvessző véletlenül? Nem? Nincs? Oké, akkor a géppisztolyt már meg se kérdezem. Oké, akkor... Oké, nézzük csak akkor némi komolyságot, oké. Oké, 45. Zsoltár, verse 5. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. And this is talking about the king, and it's also talking about God. That God has sharp arrows, and they go to the heart of his enemies. And this is really our message today. This is the thought. What are God's arrows in the heart of his enemies? And the answer is, it's his servants. But not just servants, but his servants who have a purpose, who have a goal, who have a definite direction, who are aiming at something. Because God has many servants who are not going anywhere, who are not aiming at anything, who just wander around and two steps right and one step left and one back and two ahead and they're back in the same place. And they are moving around, but not much is happening. Many servants of God, really. Many who have been called by God, many who have been saved by God, many who have been justified by God, many who will be glorified, who have been glorified. And one day it's going to be obvious, but they don't have a direction. They are not like an arrow, but they don't have a direction. We read in Hebrews 1 at the end of the chapter, we read about his angels. He says that his angels are like ministers. They are sent out. They are sent forth. He sent them out. And that, you know, that is like an arrow. That's what I mean. That God has a servant, an angel, who has a specific purpose, and he will accomplish that. But not just angels. Actually, Philippians 3. If you would turn with me. This is a great verse. The Apostle Paul says in verse 14, and I think in the second part, the first part of the verse, I press toward the mark for the prize. Okay. I press toward the mark for the prize. Okay. That word, mark, sale, is skopos in the Greek. It is like a tiny mark down there far away. It's like it's been marked out. That's the goal. That's the target. And Paul is like, you know, in a way, he is in a race. Paul is like an arrow. He has a specific target. He's going somewhere. And he doesn't want to miss it. He's pressing for it. And this is God's desire with you and me. That we would be his arrows. That we would have a direction. That we would go somewhere. And that we would strike true. We would actually hit the target. Okay, in Isaiah 55, most of us know that verse in verse 11. It says that he sends out his word. And his word does not come back to him in vain. Which means that when God sends out his word, it will do the work. that he wanted to accomplish. Okay, it will accomplish its goal. But I really want to talk about you and me. Because the next verse, verse 12, it says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." God says, "I will send out my word and it will not be in vain." It will not be like just, you know, wandering around. But my word, it's going to go out and you're like, fuck, it's just going to hit the mark. You know, and also it says, you will go forward with joy. You will be led in peace because you will walk in my will. You are not going to wander around in vain, but I have a purpose with you. And just imagine Satan and his kingdom. What consternation it must be for them when they are humiliated by you. You know, and that's James 4 verse 7. It says that you know, take your stand. Take your stand with Christ. You know, like flee to Christ. Draw near to God. Flee to Christ. And then you will take your stand and the enemy will flee. You know, when I play with the enemy, when I give in to the enemy, then the enemy will not flee. But if I stand with God, then I'm accomplishing my purpose. And it's amazing. I am the weak one. And I get the upper hand. I get the victory. You know, like David is there with Goliath. I mean, what are we, you know? We are a church. We're not a, you know, there are many churches. I mean, there are many good churches, thank God. We're a church. And we don't have great power, a lot of money, great glory, a lot of knowledge maybe. But we are standing with God. And if we are standing with God, then the enemy will flee from us. The enemy will not be able to stand. But listen, an arrow of God. Nobody has an arrow, right? Okay, all right, just in case you were hiding it. Okay, but like an arrow, it has a specific goal. It has a target. God has a purpose with it. There is an enemy on the other end of the trajectory, you know. You know, there is an enemy there, and God has a purpose with it. And you know, in that Psalm, Psalm 45, you know, in the beginning, God is described as the most beautiful, as the most awesome, as the most meek, as the most kind, which He is. But then also, He has enemies, and he needs arrows. And that's you and me. If we have a set goal, if we have a specific target, if we are moving with a reason, and we are not just ambling around aimlessly, you know. You know, it's like when I was dating my wife. Yeah, well, she wasn't my wife yet, but we could like. We could like take long walks in the city for hours. I couldn't tell you where, but it wasn't important, really. It, you know, that wasn't the point. But when I was going to see her, you know, I didn't need a GPS. I was just like going in a straight line, and through the Danube and through the building, and it was just, you know, I had a goal, I had a purpose, you know. There are two very different stories, and this is us. You know, I can be like that. Just in my head, lost, and you know, and I am a servant of God. But I'm not an arrow. I'm not with a specific purpose. So what are arrows for? If I had an arrow, and since you faultily didn't bring one, I can't believe it. You know, it's like, what is an arrow for? You know, it's outside, don't worry, I'm not putting it in. But you know, what is an arrow for? You know, like picking my nose? You know, you can do that. But not really. You know, scratch my back. You could use it for that. But it's not its goal. And this is my point. Listen, people were made by God. They were not made to serve Satan. Nobody. People were not made to live in the ambition of the world system. In that ambition. They were not made to serve the king of this world, you know. Satan. Nobody to worship him, to praise him. Nobody to violence. Nobody to greed. Nobody to hatred. Nobody to racism. Nobody. Not one person was made for this. Can they be used for that? Yeah. You know, yeah, like an arrow can be used to pick your nose or your teeth, you know, that you would pick your teeth with them. It's not made for that, but you could use it for that. And you know, and it's not the purpose. And why do I say that? Because 1 John 3:8, it says that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay, to destroy the works of the devil. The enemy would like to use people. Abuse people. That's his desire. And that's what he is going to do. But Jesus sets us free. How does he destroy the works of the devil in my life? John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I love this. God so loved this world that he gave his son. God so loved this world that he came here. But God did not so love the world that he started following the world. He did not love the world so much that he let the world use him. No, Satan would love to use you as a believer. He would love to make you his tool. And we could say so much about that. Negativity, gossip, hatred, you know, sowing discord in the church. To run down Christianity. To live shamefully. And then say, yeah, I'm a believer, so what? You know, but God does not want us to live aimlessly. John 17:11, we are in the world, but verse 16, we're not of the world. Our source is not the world. Listen, you were not made. And every human being, really nobody, has been made to use for someone's own interests. That somebody would use you for his own interest, you know. An arrow wasn't made for that, you know. You know, it's not made for that, to scratch your back. But the world would love to use you. In Psalm 127, verse 4, are you with me? Okay, if you're not with me, then are you against me? How does it work? I mean, you're not. Doesn't matter. Sorry. Psalm 127, verse 4. This is talking about children. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That means that they can repulse the enemy. They can beat back the enemy. And in a way, God has the most children in this world, of course. He's made us. Humanity is His, really. And He made every human being with a purpose. And we believe that in the will of God, there is a place for every human being. In the will of God, there is a place for everyone to enjoy and to rejoice in and to love and to grow and to carry out His will. But you know, many of those arrows, are being used to measure the depth of the poo in the toilet, you know. Smoky. You know, it's like he's in a bar room, you know. He's in a bar room. Testing if that arrow can be dissolved in palinka, you know. You know, it's like he's testing something else. He's being used, you know, like they're being used as building blocks for someone else's dreams. And arrows are not made for that. You are not made for that. And I'm just, I really just want to encourage you with this. You know, and perhaps challenge your direction and where you go. You are not meant to be abused by the world, by the enemy, by your old sin nature, but you were made to carry out God's purpose. In 2 Kings 13, actually, let's not turn there, but 2 Kings 13, there is King Joash. And what happens is that he gets a chance, and God wants to give him a promise, and he is not a good king, he is not a believer, he is a king of this world, and the prophet Elisha is there. And Joash is the guy of this world, you know. He is like the king of this. He is like the thinking of this world. And he just, you know what happens? He shoots one arrow, and God says, this is the arrow of victory against Syria. Against Syria. And then he says, okay, take your quiver. And shoot in the ground. And so he shoots in the ground. A few times. One or two times. And then he stops. And God is angry at him. And God, why did you stop? And you know, it's interesting because the prophet puts his hand on the king's hands. You know, the king is shoot, but the prophet stands there and puts his hands on. Why is that? Because God is saying, I am with you in this. You don't believe in me. You don't trust in me. But Israel is my people. And I love them. And I have a purpose with them. And I am with you in this. But Joash just doesn't know how to use those arrows. He doesn't know what it's for. Hey, listen, if you learn your life, if you learn how to live your life from the world, how do you think you will fare? I mean, the world doesn't know how to use those arrows of God. The world doesn't know how to what they are for. I mean, they will do anything, you know, something else with it. You know? It's not for the right reason and purpose. Will you hit the target? If only the world is telling you how to live your life. We know the answer, of course. One of the Greek words for sin, right? Is hamartia. What does it mean? Many of you are Bible schools know. What? That's right. Missing the mark. Missing the scopus. Missing the target. Missing the target that Paul was talking about. That there is the target. And, you know, there is the arrow. Ding. You know, maybe it's very close. But it doesn't hit it. And that's just not the life that we were called to. Okay, so how is an arrow made? And, you know, and I think this is very important for believers to know. If you want to walk in the will of God, if you want to, like, fly in the will of God, if you want to have that definite target, and you want to follow that high calling that Paul is talking about in Philippians 3:14, you know, that high calling, if you want to have that, then you need preparation. You need preparation. You know, like if you put together an arrow, you know, you glue things on and so on, and you don't wait. You know, you shoot it, it falls apart. You know, and you need preparation. And I want to encourage you to do that. To Bible school, yes. But also to grow in prayer, in fellowship, getting to know believers, what ministry is, what the Bible is. So how is an arrow made? You need light wood, light, but sturdy wood. This is you. People who have a connection with God. Okay, people, that's the lightness, you know. That we have fellowship with God, that we know Jesus, and we have a joy because of that. You can push me down, but I have this property, buoyancy. Okay, like I am, you know, I just come up on the water eventually, because I have Jesus, and the sturdiness also. Don't give up. Don't let go of that relationship. But stick to it. And even over many years, you don't see results. Attila, Pastor Attila was telling this to me. Pastor Attila version 2. He said today, like, even if there is nothing happening, being faithful over many years, going on, that's needed. Okay, an arrow needs a tip. It needs a tip. And this is also important for us. We need to get focused. And really our church, that's our purpose. That's why we have missionaries' pictures, some of them there. That's why we preach the Bible. That's why we have newsletters. And I was so encouraged. Erika sent out an inquiry, how many people want to read newsletters from missionaries. And about one third of the church said, yes, I would like to. And I was thinking, that's awesome. People want to read, people want to know, Why do we do that? Because we want to say this. There is a specific target. And you need to learn to focus. Like Paul learned to focus on that calling. Like he was talking in Philippians 3, I have a goal. I'm going somewhere. It's not a joke to me. I am going there. Okay. Then an arrow needs, okay, it has the wood. The fletching at the other end, the feathers. And what is that for? What is that for? Yeah, it's for stability. Yeah, so that it would keep flying in a straight, it wouldn't just bob around, you know. And this is also what we need. And thank God for the church, because in Hebrews 12:13. In the church, we make straight paths. Okay, we don't make them hard for people to walk. We don't make it hard for people to grow in Christ. But we say, this is the way. It's a straight path, and walk on that. And it's not hidden from you. It is easy. Just go on it. And then, of course, you need to somehow fasten together the arrow. And you know, in Ephesians 6, if you remember, when we talked about the spiritual armor. You remember that? Ephesians 6:14, it says, you know, gird your belts with, you know, gird your loins with the belt of truth. You know, that is the belt. And I told this in the church, that in the Hungarian army, you know, the belt holds the guy together, basically. And I think it's like that in every place, you know. And really, like on the side, you know, you have the mags hanging, the extra clips for the plus tárak. Okay, they hang there. Then you have a knife. You have maybe another gun. You have your chemical warfare suit. Okay, it's connected to it also, and something else and something else. So if you want the Hungarian soldier to fall apart, you just need to clip that belt, you know, and everything, you know, just falls off of him, you know. Not just his pants, but everything, really. But everything falls apart, you know. And this is how we are. If truth is not holding it all together, if you take that away from me, and this is why I need my Bible daily, this is why I need the Word of God, this is why Bible school is so useful to me, because that truth needs to be strengthened. Okay, I don't learn the truth to know the truth, but I learn the truth so that it would hold my life together. Okay, so what is what are arrows for? Are they made for the quiver, you know? No. But that's an important place for them. Okay, and this is kind of like the church, or our preparation, as we prepare to go out with God. I have seen many believers come in, get excited, and go out too early, and burn out, get disappointed, and sad stories. And I want to encourage you to prepare and to take the time to grow in Christ. And all our lives, really, that's what we're doing. And then one more picture. Sorry, so many pictures. I wish I had an arrow. But I thought of it too late. But you know, like, you know, the arrow, it wasn't even made for the bow, really. Okay, it was made to hit the target. But without the bow, that could not happen. And that I believe also is like the church. That the church is the one that sends us out. In one sense or another, some people are sent out to Africa or Asia, China, Latin America. Some people are sent out to Debrecen, Ajka, Szeged, Fehérvár, 17th district. We send out people, and that's one way of sending out. But another one is we say, you need a ministry. You need a ministry. And we say, have a ministry. Do some. And that's like, being shut out. And you're learning something. And you're growing. I know what you will remember from this message. I know this is what you will remember. Sorry. But I want to make my point very clear. Okay, you were not made for the plans of the enemy. You were not made for the plans of the world. You were not made just so many stupid things. But you were made to fly in that high calling towards that specific mark that God has for you. And to not stop, not fall apart, not give up, to be focused, to be stable, to be sturdy, tartós. And you would hit that mark. And at the end of your life, you would say, like Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, he said, I have finished the race. I have ran the course. I won. I got the crown. I'm victorious. I did it. I reached the target. God forbid that we would lose that experience because we chose some other life that we were not made for. You can use an arrow to scribble something in wood like Pete was here, but it's not what it's made for. And don't live your life like that. You can use your life like that to leave a temporal mark in this world. But God wants you to have an eternal impact on eternity. Amen. So maybe I was just thinking, how are you? Are you alive? You look tired. God bless you. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for coming.